Today we're going to talk a little bit about sharing. The picture in the bulletin is a picture of two guinea pigs sharing a piece of cheese, if you couldn't tell. Yeah. We're not exactly talking about sharing in that context, but anyway. I want to go back. This is the eighth message in our Life's Healing Choices series. Obviously, many of the groups won't be meeting, won't be finished meeting for a few more weeks. But we're going to continue to press forward and talk about these principles. And we want to look at the whole thing now in retrospect and take everything that we've learned so far and see how we can apply it in a way that will culminate in helping others. So going back to the scripture that Lori read earlier, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, let's revisit it. Let's read it again. We're going to read the entirety of the Beatitudes, followed by a few other words, which we're going to focus on this morning. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I want to focus a little bit on what we're to be in light of what we've learned. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The sharing choice today is this: I choose to yield myself to God, to be used to bring the good news to others by my example and by my words. I choose to yield myself to God to be used to bring the good news to others by my example and by my words. So when I talk about sharing, I'm talking about you sharing your story through your life, through your action, through your actions, and through what you say. We might even take some time next week to give some of you the opportunity to share, you know, in some form, what God has taught you over these past few months, how God has drawn you closer to himself, how he's given you victory over areas of your life, because there's strength in that and power in that. We're going to talk about how that works by examining, I guess, what you might say are the attributes of an effective testimony or the attributes of an effective story. And what better way to do that but to look at the Apostle Paul and see how he shared his testimony. And we're going to look at a couple instances as he shares with Timothy, as he shares with Agrippa, relating to them what God has done in his life. Remember, to share your testimony, and it's not really a word that crops up in the context that we use it in Scripture, but there's obviously a lot of legal terminology in Scripture. And when we talk about sharing a testimony, we're talking about basically what a witness does on a stand by simply relating what he or she has seen and experienced in relation to the charges that are being brought against the accused. Or sharing what they've seen and heard as it relates to that person which needs to be acquitted. On its most basic in its most basic form, in most basic terms, when we talk about sharing a testimony, sharing your story, you're simply relating to people what you've seen, what you've experienced, what God has done. And that's a powerful thing, because this is the way I was, this is the way I am, this is what God has done. We're going to kind of look at those things. We're going to look at how Paul shared it. We're going to look at how Paul did it, and see how it can help us know where the effectiveness can be when it comes to sharing what God has done in our lives. So the first thing, if you really want to share an effective testimony, if you want to effectively relate your story to someone, it's important for you to express to them or explain to them, this is what I was like before I met Christ. This is what I was like before I met Christ. Paul relates this to Timothy as he's sharing a little bit about himself. 1 Timothy 1:13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Now, what's Paul relating to Timothy here? What he was. I was a blasphemer. I persecuted people. I was violent. I was ignorant, full of unbelief. In the later part of the book of Acts, Paul is determined to go before the various leaders of the Roman Empire and share his story with them. And he finds himself before King Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 9 through 11. He says, I was convinced, and as he's relating this to Agrippa, this is basically him telling Agrippa what he was like before his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too. I was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. So we're learning a little bit about the kind of person that Paul was, what his mission was, what motivated him, what he did. There's more, but I tried to whittle it down to some of the more important points today, just to illustrate what it is that Paul would share about himself to those that he was trying to show the change that Christ had wrought in him, that Christ had made in him. So that was the kind of person that Paul was, a Pharisee of Pharisees, one steeped in Jewish legalism, set against this new sect of Judaism that was called the followers of the way, determined to wipe it off the planet. A blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, opposing the name of Christ at every turn, throwing saints in prison, casting their vote against them that they might be put to death, traveling far and wide to find as many of them as he could to persecute them. That's grounds for a pretty interesting story to start. One of the dangers of sharing testimonies is, I don't know how many times I've been someplace where somebody stood up and they begin to share what their life was like, and they went on and on about what their life was like, and they kept going on and on about what their life was like before Christ, and we found out all kinds of stuff that I'm not sure we needed to know about what their life was like before Christ. And, it's really easy to glorify the past. And somewhere near the end of the night, they say, and then I accepted Christ and everything changed, the end. And everybody's kind of like, okay. Well, that was anticlimactic. It's kind of like the weight gets kind of put over here on this side, and we really want to know, what did God do to really change you? And that's what I appreciate about Paul as he shares with people through Scripture about what God has done in him. Because he reluctantly and in some ways hesitantly focuses a little bit on what he was with the purpose of showing the power of God as God changed his heart and made him into something new. So the second attribute of an effective testimony that Paul shows us is, this is what happened that got my attention. So what happened that got my attention? As he continues to relate his testimony to Agrippa, in Acts 26, he says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up, stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Have any of you ever had ever that happen to you? You're on the way somewhere, you get struck by a light, and God spoke to you? Maybe not quite in those terms. Maybe some of you, yes. But you had a moment, those of you that have given your life to the Lord, that have determined to live for him. There was something that happened. Maybe a number of things that happened that get your attention and cause you to turn your eyes toward Christ. And then God began to direct you. This past weekend, we hosted a little area youth rally that ended up not being much of an area youth rally. It ended up being a rally with a lot of our own teens. But it was good. And one of the things that Ron shared with the teens on Saturday night, Friday night, whatever night that was, I'm losing track of the days. The thing that God's really been pressing into Ron's heart lately is the importance of true repentance and real heart change. We didn't want to be guilty of being the kind of youth leaders that make emotional pleas for our kids to ask Christ to come into their life again for the 73rd time. Our mindset is, you know what, if you really approach God and desire Christ to be your Lord and Savior and you place your faith in him, then something needs to change in your life. You begin to love the things that God loves. You begin to hate the things that God hates. And if you don't love the things that God loves and you don't hate the things that God hates, or at the very least you're not moving in that direction, we begin to very seriously question the commitment that you made. Because it's more than about praying a prayer. It's about placing your faith in Jesus Christ to change you and to transform you. And the reason we do those things, we pray that perhaps something that we do in our relationships with those teens at a rally or a youth night will be, in a way, a road to Damascus experience for those kids. I mean, for many people, when they acknowledge their need for Christ, maybe they were sitting in a church service, maybe they were at a camp, you know, maybe they were watching somebody preach on television and the light bulb went on and there was a realization. And maybe it wasn't a light on the road to Damascus, but there was a light, there was an understanding, there was something that happened that made you realize, I can't do this anymore, I need Christ, I need to change, something else needs to be different. And it's good for you to be able to put those things into words so that you can relate your story to others and testify to what Christ has done in your life. As we've moved through the 7 previous weeks of Life's Healing Choices, we've talked about ways that God can heal and change and transform. And it's so important to work towards that because we want to be able to relate what God has done in our life to people that need the same hope, that need the same purpose, people that need the same kind of transformation. So we can talk about what we were like. We can talk about what happened to us that got our attention and drew us to Christ. And then we can talk about how God changed me when I came to Christ. It's really important. Paul relates this to Timothy. I'm skipping over a verse that I already read. But in 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, he tells Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." And in verse 14, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." He's relating to Timothy. This is what God has done in me, Timothy. This is what he has done. He relates to King Agrippa in Acts 26 again. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. This was a very quick, a very immediate turnaround. A radical thing for somebody like Saul, later called Paul. Here's something I want you to think about. Five things that you can share when you're relating these things about your life and what God has done. And it's good to be open and honest about these things, because if we sugarcoat what we were, or we sugarcoat the process that God took us through, it's very easy for it to become difficult for those people that we speak to and relate to and live our lives around. It becomes difficult for them to relate to really what's going on in our life. In fact, you know, if I can be open and honest with you as a pastor, as your pastor, about these five things, as I'm working through them, there can be some strength and encouragement, strangely enough, in these things. So in order to help others, I need to be transparent about a few things. I need to be transparent about my feelings, how I felt about these things that were happening in my life. I need to be transparent about my faults. I need to be transparent about my failures, about my frustrations and my fears. Why are these important? Well, you can talk about these things as it relates to what Christ was doing. I was afraid. Well, you know, when I encountered Christ and I began to realize I was going to have to make this change, I felt I was afraid. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think God could take someone like me and make me into that kind of person. I was afraid of what might happen. We don't share these things for the sake of sharing them, but we share them because we want people to know how God helped us work through these five things in the change process that he's begun in us. And it leads us to something even more powerful than simply relating feelings and faults and failures, frustrations and fears for the sake of relating those things, but relating the victory that God gave us as we've overcome them. And that's the fourth thing. This is how God helped me overcome those things in my life that would have destroyed me. And this is why we've been doing this program, this campaign, from the beginning. Because it's one thing to relate what I was like. It's another thing to relate how God got my attention. It's another thing to relate how God began to change me. But if we find our lives stuck at a place where we are struggling over and over and over again with the same sin and the same habits and not seeming to make any progress, we have got to break through that. We have got to gain victory over those things through the power of God so that we can relate to others. This is how God gave me victory over my feelings and my faults and my failures and my frustrations and my fears. Otherwise, those things will destroy us. And so much for our testimony. You're the kind of Christian that walks around most of the time moping and stepping on your chin. How many people are going to want some of that? Yeah, I want me some of that. Woo! Those really sad, mopey Christian people. Those defeated, aimless, wandering Christian people over there that fight amongst themselves and chew each other's heads off. That's just great. Praise God. We have got to get a handle on some stuff. If your life is going to be an effective testimony before your friends and neighbors and coworkers and family, you have got to get a handle on some stuff. Get a grip, if you will. Going back to Paul's words to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Here he goes back to talking about who he was or even what he is. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. I'm always a little leery of testimonies that glorify the person sharing the testimony without glorifying the power of God in them to change them in spite of who they were. I like Paul's focus. It's like, this isn't me, guys. This is not my power or my wisdom. You know, he's honest. He tells the church, you know, I came to you in fear and trembling. There he's sharing his fears. I came to you in weakness. I came to you resolving to know nothing except Christ and Christ crucified. Paul is even very transparent in Romans 7 about the struggle that is common to all men, that he himself dealt with. Romans 7, 15 to 25, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he gives us the answer, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's not the end of it, because if you go into Romans 8, you see the process as Paul relates to God giving him victory from the life of not doing what he wants to do and doing what he doesn't want to do, the life that many of you are living right now. No amount of willpower, no amount of hoping and wishing is going to help you overcome those things without God displaying his power in your life. And that's only going to happen when you surrender yourself to him. In order to gain that kind of victory in your life, the kind of victory that is, it's powerful. It's common for us to say it's good for us to hear each other's struggles because then we can relate to one another. And there's a certain truth to that, yes, but I want to go beyond that. It's good for me to learn to gain victory so that I can relate my victory to somebody that's struggling with something I used to struggle with. And that's how we help each other grow. It's good to know that we all struggle or have all struggled with a particular thing, but realizing that that's not the place that God desires us to stay, we can justify it. We say things like, well, I'm not perfect because nobody's perfect. Well, duh. How many of you have never struggled with anything in your life? Put up your hand. Ever. All right. Well, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? Sometimes we can use that as an excuse, though, to justify behavior and say, well, nobody's perfect. You know. Yeah, but God does call us to perfection. Oops. Forgot about that. His perfection. The perfection that comes through the power of Christ in your life. The ability to overcome the thing that you don't think you can overcome, which you can't without him. In order to gain that kind of victory, there's certain things you need to rely on. You need to rely on God's word as your foundation and your strength and your source of power. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit to bring that to life in you, to guide you, to remind you of the things that God taught, to grow you every day, and to give you that connection to God's still small voice. You need to rely on the love of God. Because if you don't know that God is for you, the enemy can wreak lots of havoc in your life. Confusion. The stability of God's love for you. And strangely enough, as we've talked about this before, in order to gain that kind of victory, there has to be a heavy level of reliance upon each other. For encouragement, for that iron on iron relationship that we've talked about, the building up, the challenging, the willingness as Christian brothers and sisters who love one another to every once in a while be willing to get in each other's face and say, you know what, that isn't kosher in your life. I think you know it. And as a Christian brother and sister or sister, I felt like I needed to confront you in love. Some of us like to confront. We don't like to be confronted. But we don't really get to choose if we enter into this kind of thing. So why do I share all that today? Well, it comes down to this. The purpose of our campaign was for people to overcome things in their life, hurts, hang-ups, and habits that would keep them from reaching their full potential in Christ. And as we work through these principles, as we put them into practice, and as you begin to see victory in your life, because that's what I expect to see. I'm not here to stand up and talk to you on Sunday and have you waffle in the same ridiculousness that you've waffled in for 10 years. I can go somewhere else and do that. It's time for us to get some victory in our life over the things that the enemy would mean to keep us from being effective for the kingdom of God. And as you gain that victory, I want you to think and put that in terms that you can share, because I'm going to want to hear your story. And other people here are going to want to hear your story. So you be thinking about that. And I think next week we're going to have some opportunity for those of you to relate the things that God has been doing in your life and the victories that he's been showing you and giving you as you've been overcoming. And if you're here today and you're still struggling, then I pray that those testimonies that will be shared will be an encouragement to you to help you overcome. Let's pray together. Let's stand. Thank you, Father, for the power of what you can do in a life. The power of relating your word and your spirit and the things that you have done to transform others into your image, and how that can be an encouragement and a challenge to us as we look on and we see that example to follow. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't give in to the temptation of simply wanting to just freewheel and to find ourselves in a neutral gear and just kind of float along. But that we'd be deliberate in our growth, that we would be deliberate in our pursuit of what it is that you desire to do in us to help us overcome. So that we can look at our lives and say, God has touched my life. God has given me the strength and the power through Christ to be what I could never have been on my own. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, and again, that you promised, as you have begun that good work in us, that you would carry it on to completion till the day of Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful followers of you as we trust you and we rely on you to give us the strength, the wisdom, and the power to overcome those things that the enemy would use to destroy us. And that people will be able to look on our lives and see God is at work in him. God is at work in her. God is obviously at work in that church. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the testimonies that we look forward to hearing in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, if you don't have a story yet, get one. All right. God bless.